Welcome to the Rewire podcast. Today I have Michaela Millington with me. Michaela, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so Michaela is a yoga and movement specialist, I guess, and also runs retreats. Michaela lives in Tofino, and I thought we'd just start right there because Tofino is such a magical place. So maybe you could just kind of describe a little bit about Tofino and how you ended up moving there.
Yeah, of course. Tofino is very magical. We're on the island and it's a very small part of the island. About 2,000 people live here. However, we do get a lot of tourists in the summertime. And I've only been living here for 2 months, but I have visited like a handful of times before moving here with my partner. Previous to that, we were in Vancouver. I'm originally from Ontario, but I was living in Vancouver for about 6.5 years. And yeah, and our journey took us here to Tofino. So my partner and I have a house. We're running an Airbnb. We're living in the basement suite of it, just switching things up and giving ourselves an opportunity to experience a slower lifestyle out here. So lots of beach time, lots of time in the water. Surfing is so much fun and I'm learning a lot. And yeah, it's creating a lot of space for me personally to explore some of my bigger passions and to really dive into those. My partner can work from anywhere, like where he's remote. But yeah, the move out here was a big shift for me because I was working full time at two different studios in Vancouver before coming here.
Yeah, well, I love that you made that move. I haven't been to Tofino. It's on my list of places to visit. So that's incredible. Yeah. So then going back to Vancouver, because I know you are a yoga teacher. How did you get into yoga specifically? And you know, maybe you could share a little bit about how it's been a tool or a resource or modality for you personally as well.
Yeah, this is always such a loaded question. How did I get into yoga? It's funny because like I feel a lot of people say, oh, well, yoga found me. And even if that sounds fluffy and woo-woo and whatever, I believe it. Like, hell yeah, I think the practice made its way to me for a reason. So oh gosh, where to even start? I grew up a competitive gymnast and I loved movement. I loved that connection, excuse me, that I was able to experience within myself and my body. I found gymnastics to be like a really creative outlet, just full of expression. And yeah, I mean, I was pretty young. I stopped competing in gymnastics when I was 12. I broke my arms twice. So that definitely put a stop on that little gymnastics career that I thought was going to be a bigger career, but it's all good. And that led me into cheerleading, which, yeah, I held on to cheerleading for a little bit. It took me to university where I made a varsity team, the varsity cheer team. And I only lasted like 4 months on that cheer team. It just something was like not feeling very aligned. It felt like the expression of the sport or the practice, whatever, was pulled out. And there was just so much competition pulled into it, which is totally fine. I actually have a lot of respect for cheer teams. It's a lot of self-discipline, but it just wasn't what I needed at that time in my life. And I just happened to stumble across a yoga studio, and I took one class and fell in love right away. I was like, okay, here we go, another practice where I am just with myself in my body, experiencing breath, experiencing expression, different shapes, different challenges. And I joined that community, that yoga space right away in terms of like volunteering, doing an energy exchange. So that gave me opportunity and flexibility, financial flexibility, because I was a student at the time, to just take as many classes as I wanted to and to also give back. It was, yeah, like working at the studio a couple times a week, and in exchange, I got classes. So that was the big like kickoff, if you will. That studio in St. Catharines, Ontario. It was Moksha at the time. They changed their name to Moto Yoga. And yeah, I was very committed to my yoga practice throughout university. It was an eye-opening experience, on so many levels. It was a practice that helped me through some very challenging times in my life. I lost my dad during university, and it really helped me through those chapters of grief. It also, yeah, it opened up a world of like I developed or found new friendships, new people, and built some really meaningful relationships with people at the studio. So that I found that to be really special. I'm not really a surface level girl, you know, I find that draining. Any conversation that's, hey, how's it going? What do you do? I need more than that. I need a little bit
Right.
more than that. So that was really special. And let me just like maybe I'll cut this a little bit shorter because it could go on forever. But I was studying speech therapy in university, and when I graduated, I got a job in Calgary. So I moved to Calgary, started working at this private practice, and found another yoga studio there. Did the same thing, energy exchange, wanted to have that community. At this point, yoga was like a daily practice for me, still is. And I worked in my field for 2 years, and something just switched. I reached a point where this studio in Calgary, opened my eyes to more of what the practice of yoga can offer. The studio had workshops, had many different classes on the schedule in terms of like vinyasa, yin yoga, restorative, all the different styles and teachings of yoga. They had kirtan, they had chanting, they had, yeah, sound healing, meditation classes. So ever like more than just the movement, right? And I just fell more and more in love with the practice. So yeah, I reached a point where I remember I called my mom one day, and I was like, I don't want to do what I'm doing anymore. I actually want to teach yoga. And she was like, okay, well, let's do it. And I was like, what? I just like spent, you know, 6 years studying speech therapy, and anyways, it wasn't the reaction that I expected. And she was all on board. My mom's my biggest cheerleader. She's my best friend. She did some research with me and helped me kind of navigate what training I wanted to do. And I landed on this immersive training in Costa Rica, at Caribe Yoga Academy. They're awesome. Little plug in there. If anyone ever wants to ask me anything about a yoga training, I'm very happy to tell you about this training, because it was, yeah, life-changing. It was awesome. So I went, I was there for 28 days, got my 200-hour training, and yeah, came out of it with wanting to teach full time. That's just, I wanted to share this practice with everyone and anyone in whatever capacity people could hold, or whatever they wanted to explore. Yeah, so that was the goal. And another pull at the time was to move further west. So Vancouver was on the list. I wanted to be closer to the ocean and still surrounded by the mountains. I also knew that Vancouver had a huge community and opportunity of movement of yoga. So I was like, okay, well, Vancouver's the one. I moved out there and I was only there for about 2 months, actually, 2 or 3 months. Nothing was aligning. I felt like I had so many doors being shut in my face. Like I was trying to do energy exchange, I was trying to do auditions. Something was stuck and like it wasn't flowing. I was experiencing a bit of depression and felt just really disconnected from myself. And I had this huge pull to go back home to Ontario. I didn't understand it at the time. It was just a feeling. It was all somatics. It was in my body, something saying you have to go back. So I listened and I went, moved back to Ontario. And 3 weeks later, my stepdad passed away. My stepdad was in my life since I was 10. So I feel like I had two dads, you know? I lost my biological dad when I was 21. And then at this point, I lost my stepdad very suddenly. And yeah, that was another massive wave of grief. And really hard to understand that one personally. And I know everyone's experience is so different. With my biological dad, there was this decline in his health because of the alcoholism that he was dealing with, where my stepdad passed away suddenly from a brain aneurysm. So completely unexpected. So yeah, I stayed at home. I lived with my mom. I was home for almost a year, 11 months. And it was a big chapter of healing. I started teaching at a really small, beautiful local studio back home in Belleville, Ontario. And that was interestingly enough, where all my opportunity kicked off and blossomed, like teaching from a very raw and vulnerable place. I was very open and expanded and moving through all of the grief and really trying to understand life at that point. I felt like I poured that honestly into my teaching, not from a place of, speaking to grief, particularly, but from a place of understanding how precious life is and moving that into my classes, basically an ultimate practice of gratitude for what you have, who you have, the body you have to live in, the life you get to live. And that was really healing, and it really, really pushed me further as a teacher. The energy exchange in those classes was phenomenal. People resonating with what I was sharing, and me second guessing myself, am I sharing too much? Is this way too vulnerable for some people? When really that's what we crave and what we need, right? Like that connection with one another and that just truth, just honest truth. So that was yeah, basically a year living with my mom and doing lots of therapy and teaching a lot, practicing a lot, being with family, being outside. And I reached a point, yeah, after 11 months where I was like, you know what, Vancouver is still calling my name. I need to go back. So I went back, and then things started unfolding. All the doors were opening up. It was wild. I moved there and didn't have an apartment to live in. Stayed on my friend's couch for 2 days before I found an amazing apartment with an amazing roommate. I started a nannying job because I just didn't want to go back into speech therapy. I wanted to just close that chapter and create space for the bigger goal and dream of teaching full time, but it's pretty competitive in bigger cities, so I knew I had to give myself a little bit of time. But within a year, I was having auditions. I was getting classes on schedules at different studios I was teaching. And after a year, it grew to full-time career. I was offered enough classes to build up a schedule across a handful of different studios. And then I was teaching full time, and I had been doing that for 6.5 years. So that's pretty much the journey of it all. I also started running my Evolve retreats. I started that in 2019, and that's been incredible. That is now like the big dream, big goal is to build up those retreats and to do a lot more of them throughout the year, because I was pretty steady with about one or two a year. And yeah, and now we'll see where that goes.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. We did discuss this a little bit in a previous conversation, but it was great to hear all of that. And I'm curious for you, self-awareness is so important, I think, when people feel something is out of alignment and, they feel it in their body or it's showing up in a certain way in their life. And, obviously, since you've been on this path of yoga and all of the other things that have opened up, and you use the word expansion, which is so important. I always talk about contraction versus expansion and the magic that happens when you're in expansion and synchronicities and things that show up for you and the doors that fly open. As you said, at some point, everything is closed and then suddenly there's a shift. Did you feel that you had a strong sense of self-awareness before the yoga journey, or is this something that you just kind of started into and that then developed that self-awareness?
Yeah, good question. I think I did. I feel like I have always been a pretty, I've always been fairly self-aware. However, I think the practice of mindfulness that comes with yoga has taught me how to, I don't want to say manage my emotions. It taught me how to be with more uncomfortable emotions and states of being. Definitely, there were, I think that's the best way to put it. I know if I'm just trying to think back to like university years and stuff, and that tendency to want to shove down the discomfort. The practice of yoga definitely taught me that like all of that can be there, like doesn't have to be ignored. It's not embarrassing to feel a certain way. It's welcome. It's human. So it definitely, it expanded my mindset on welcoming anything in that comes.
Okay, interesting. For myself, I felt very unaware, unconscious until there's something catastrophic happened in my life, and then it was mindfulness specifically, mindfulness meditation that really began to quickly unlock that awareness. And so mindfulness is something that that's a very common term used these days, and there's a lot of different ways to practice that. How would you define mindfulness?
Ooh. Mindfulness to me is being in that space of pure presence and like full attention. No distraction. It's honestly, I want to use the word like there's simplicity in it. And maybe that might be, I don't know, others might disagree with me, but I think that's just it. It's just no distraction. Like if I'm looking outside right now, and if I just want to focus on the massive cedar tree in front of me. Can I do just that? Can I be with just that observation without judgment? Yeah, it is a very peaceful place to be in with the practice of it, I think. Which is interesting because even with, some of those feelings, emotions that we label or define as heavy and uncomfortable, like grief or anger or anxiety, I think there is still some peace to discover in that if there is this practice of just being with it, noticing it without the judgment. Yeah, that blissful space of observation.
I love that. I love, because there is a dictionary definition, but I love everyone's perspective on what that means to them. And you've
What
used
is
the
the
word.
dictionary definition?
Well, I mean, it's just like, being in the present moment without judgment, I think, essentially. But it's there. You refer to truth as well previously, and I think in those moments we allow that truth to arise without. Getting in the way, and it's really hard to describe that feeling or embodiment, but it's a practice.
That's exactly it. It is a daily ongoing practice. And it's forever changing and evolving, right? As you, an individual, changes and grows and evolves over time. Yeah, your mindful practice will grow with you.
Absolutely. So what does your daily practice look like? So for Mikhail, like everyone has a sort of a well, not everybody, but there's a routine or something with your self-care practice. Are you very regimented and disciplined with certain things, or does it flow? How does that look for you?
I feel like I've got some staples in my routine, and then I play around with like adding or subtracting certain things. But a big one for me, which I try my very best to stay committed to, and I'm human, I don't do it all the time, but I am pretty good at doing this daily, is waking up and not looking at my phone for the first hour of my day. I actually led a group, when was it? Maybe 4 months ago, 3 months ago, I did a 2-week healthy habits challenge with a group of people. And that was the number one, is like, can you try for 2 weeks to wake up and not look at your phone? Start with 15 minutes, start with, and then maybe progress 30 minutes, maybe an hour. There's some days where I don't look at my phone for the first 2 hours of my day, and it is amazing how peaceful I feel in my body, and how everything I do feels like a sacred ritual. It feels like a self-love practice. So, right now, I mean, that's a staple. I've been doing that for a while. And then whether I choose meditation, journaling, or breath work or movement, all of those four things, I don't try and do all of them in one morning. I just tend to pick one of the four. To me, those are all a practice of self-reflection, mindfulness, yoga on and off the mat, right? So I try to pick one of those. The past 2 or 3 weeks, I've been doing cold showers in the morning. Oh my God, I'm a cold dipper. I love it. I love cold plunging, but cold showers are a whole other ball game. It is. Do you do cold showers? Oh my God. You
Always.
know, I stand there, I put it to the coldest temperature, I take a deep breath, and then I just whoop, I just go right in. But it really wakes you up, right? And it feels like so good on my body, my muscles, like really, really enjoy it. So I've been doing that. I make a green drink every morning. Yeah, and then I either sit in meditation. Sometimes I do, 10-minute meditation, 10-minute breath work. Sometimes I journal, sometimes I don't. And sometimes my body feels like moving, sometimes it doesn't, and I might move later in the day, or I might not, but that's pretty much it.
I love that. I think, a lot of people, there's resistance to having a like a rigid program to follow. But I think the overall premise of what you're describing, and I agree with so like wholeheartedly, is just protecting time tech-free to do some kind of self-care, self-reflection. Just fill your cup first before the day begins and you get pulled into all of the other reactionary things that are happening around us.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? It's that morning in silence. My partner is like super awesome and respectful of it too. Like he doesn't talk to me in the morning, and that's fine. I mean, we wake up and say good morning or whatever, but as soon as I'm up and out of bed and I'm off doing my thing, he's so respectful of it, and I really appreciate that. But the silence in the morning and waking up not looking at your phone was definitely inspired by my yoga training. Like the first 3 hours of our morning at during yoga training was wake up, you go practice for 2 hours. It was a 2 hour morning practice, and then breakfast in silence, opportunity to journal if you wanted to while you were eating. And that, I think that really stuck with me. Like it was, not only was it beautiful to be in that silence by yourself, but in community with others as well. So I integrate that into my retreats. I call it a magic morning. And every morning you wake up, and even if you're in a shared cabin, cottage, wherever you are, I encourage people to try to be silent. Don't look at your phone. Wake up, do what you want to do. And then we meet in the shala or yoga studio. We practice together. We breathe, we meditate, we journal. I always guide people through prompted journaling, self-reflection. There's typically a theme each day on my retreats, and then we eat breakfast together in silence, and it's beautiful. It's really, really lovely.
Yeah, oh, that's powerful. The phone is such a hard pull for so many people. It's just
Know.
got the best engineers in the world trying to grab your attention at all times. So it's a sticky one, but such a game changer when people let that go in the morning, create some space. So much more resilience. The day lands in a very different place when you do that.
100%.
Yeah. So the retreats, Evolve Retreats, I know that's what you said is, one of your primary focuses right now. What would are all your retreats like themed differently, or do you have like a like sort of a common sort of theme throughout? What does that look like?
They do all hold a bit of a similar structure, in terms of, the morning practice followed by, every morning is typically a vinyasa flow practice followed by meditation, maybe breath work, and then always prompted journaling. The theme for each day definitely changes on depending on where we are in the world and where we're gathering for our retreats. Or honestly, sometimes I just change it depending on what kind of lands for me, like what I feel people need at this point in time in the world. I don't know. I just take some time before retreats to think about what I want to offer. It's just depending on the length of the retreats as well, because I do offer some shorter retreats, like a 3-day retreat. I have one coming up in October on Bowen Island in British Columbia. So that is October 25th to 27th. And that's a 3-day retreat. With the shorter ones, I don't want to say it's like, the depth is there. The depth is always there on any retreat we do. I just have to be mindful of how I curate those 3 days, because I do want people to have the opportunity to connect with each other, to connect with themselves, and to not really jam the schedule. I think that's the biggest thing, is like creating space for downtime, for rest, for recharge, and not just packing the 3 days with boom, 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 because that's what we're used to is go, 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 do, do, do. And then, yeah, and then I do retreats that are sometimes 5 days or 6 or 7 days. We've got a 5-day retreat coming up in February in Todos Santos, Mexico. This is a new spot for Evolve retreats, so I'm really excited to share this space with people. I was there in May and I went to check out the property. And it was, yeah, a similar feeling that I got when I first stepped on the property in Costa Rica of where I've hosted retreats before. It's like that instant shoulders drop, everything softens, breath of fresh air. I was like, this is it. This is it. Here we go. And I don't question that. I sign right away. I make a deposit right away, lock in that time, and then go from there. So, yeah, I've been playing around with some new things. Like, I also teach Pilates. So, the Todos Santos retreat, because it is a bit longer, I'm going to be offering some Pilates flow type of classes mixed in with the yoga. And there's a lot of mindful, I mean, movement is a mindful practice, right? So, even though it's a different modality of movement, there's still a ton of mindfulness that can be poured into the practice of Pilates. So we're going to be exploring that. And then there's always some adventures and excursions that we do together, depending on where we are in the world.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So, wanted to close with one thing. The invitation, the quote that I've seen in some of your posts and various things. Had it written down here somewhere. There it is. So you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation you were not a surface level type person in conversation, and that did not interest you. Which obviously is why this probably resonates with you. But I would just invite everybody to, it's too long to read all of it, but it starts with, it doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. But I love the way it closes and it says, I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. What does that mean to you, that last part?
Say it one more time. I need to sit with it again.
Yeah. I want to know if you could be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments.
Yeah. Honestly, loving every part of who you are, loving every experience of life that you've moved through, like at anything you move through. Yeah, I had this is so interesting you brought this up, because I was messaging a friend this morning and our conversation led towards me reminding her of the fact that I do believe the most important relationship you're ever going to have is with yourself. And I feel like I share that a lot, but that's it. That's the answer right there, is you are the everything that you are is what you have. It's you, it's your life, and you hold so much and you have so much to share and also so much to experience, and allowing every part of you to be seen and held and loved is really the best practice.
Beautiful. Yeah. That part resonates with me very much because that's certainly a big part of the work I'm doing for myself is that self-love component. So thank you for sharing that. How can people find you and learn more about your retreats and everything that you do?
Yes. You can find me on Instagram. It's Mick Mill, MIKMILL, not Meek Mill. I love that guy. I love the rapper. But yeah, and then my website is mickmill.com. So www.mickmill.com. All of my retreat yeah, are on my website. There's a little bit more about me. I have a recorded on-demand class library on my website. There's over 60 classes on there. There's a full month challenge that was created during the pandemic, but it's still up there for anyone who's curious or interested in doing some movement at home. And but yeah, a lot of me and my life is shared on Instagram. I'm pretty open on there, so would love to connect. Send me a message whenever.
Amazing. Well, appreciate you, Michaela. Thank you so much for sharing your time and energy today.
Thank you. This was fun. I love it.